bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Lisa, good morning and thank you for coming into the studio. It's great to have you here.
Good morning.
Did you come all the way in from Ballarat?
No, we were down for the Writers' Festival last night to see wins the Miles Franklin.
Yes, of course. Great outcome too, wasn't it?
Always a good outcome.
Yeah.
You know, I love reading their books.
Yeah. Now, congratulations on your great show. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was incredibly powerful and evocative. And I understand it's the result of 10 years of living and working with Inuit communities. Is that correct?
Well, it's not really with Inuit communities, although I did work with Inuit communities, but 10 years of work in the Arctic. So I'd done a lot of very big public art sculptures and artworks. I was the first artist to project on the Sydney Opera House, which I did for Mardi Gras back in 98, I think.
Wow. What a notch in the belt that is.
Yeah, well, they'd been saying no to artists and people for 20 years, and I managed to get enough dominoes to fall and present them with a project they wanted as well. And the City of Sydney funded doing it, so it was all really good.
But and are you listening out there, Lisa's, listeners? We've now got Lisa in Victoria.
Yes. And I love Victoria, I've got to tell you. My wife and I are very happy in Ballarat.
Fantastic.
But one of the things is I was so interested then in public space and bringing what's hidden out so we can see it. And putting stuff on the Opera House is really taking stuff out so we could see it. And in the 90s, there are a lot of issues going on in the gay and lesbian community. So I managed to work those into that exhibition, you know, which was pretty groundbreaking in its day. I turned pink in those days, wasn't breast cancer. Pink then was gay.
Yes.
And we did, and I turned the Opera House pink.
Cool.
You know, at the last, actually a glittery pink.
Yeah.
Right at the last minute, you know, Verushka Darling was very happy with that. So I'd done all those things. So then the invitation to go to the Arctic was just, I had to go. So 6 weeks on a Russian icebreaker on the 100th transit, full transit of the Northwest Passage.
Wow.
Which in those days, the ship before us and the ship after us got iced in and couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, and I was on a Russian icebreaker and there was heavy politics going down because the Russians had just decided that week I was there in that particular bit to claim they'd sent a sub to the bottom of the Arctic.
I remember that, yes.
And claimed it for Russia with a flag.
Yeah.
So I promptly got an Australian flag, we drew one, and wrapped it round a brick, but the captain wouldn't let us throw it off the boat because we were going to say, well, it'd end up on the bottom.
Yeah, we're going to claim that bit.
Claim it for Australia. So going through all of those things. And when you come to the show in Ballarat, if you get a chance, it's only an hour out on the train, you'd have good fun. It's a wonderful place. But the Ballarat Art Gallery, in that there are two photographs that are on glass. So they have this amazing depth to them.
Yes.
And they're portholes of looking out at the Northwest Passage.
Wow.
And at that stage, I'm looking out. And as you go into the work, you realise you're inside the landscape at some point. It shifts, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I have to say, though, that the two images that I found particularly haunting were the ones on the other wall, on the blankets.
The troll blankets.
Troll blankets.
That's what's a troll
blanket? What's a troll blanket?
Okay, when I was in Iceland, because I've done different things in the Arctic region, a lot to do with ships, for obvious reasons. But in Iceland, I spent about 2 months in the dark one winter in a little fishing village called Skagastrand in the north. And there I learnt the tales of trolls and elves and fairies and how important it was. And they believe in them in the same way we have people here who believe in their own invisible people and buildings and cathedrals to them. So there is all of that that goes on. So much so that they have a consultant on council whose job it is to negotiate with trolls and elves and fairies to make sure you don't accidentally build over, you know, a troll entrance or a fairy home.
Wow.
And their Day of the Dead, or All Souls Day, or All Saints Day, whatever you want to call it, is Christmas Eve. So it's dark. It's Arctic darkness. And they light up. You always have to leave a light on in your house so the trolls don't think it's empty and move in.
Wow.
And the graveyards are lit up with fairy lights, we'd call them, Christmas lights. And one of those is in one of those troll blankets.
Yes.
So they're lit up so that when the spirits and ghosts of our ancestors come into town, they know how to get back.
Yeah.
And the elves don't just take it over because it's empty. So there are all of these kind of things that go on. It's quite amazing, but it's about making sure everyone's safe.
How do you get your head around this? You know, when you go there, and you know you're living it. How do you get your head around it?
Well, I found a long time ago that if you look into landscape, you are looking. You're looking not at rocks and trees and sticks and mountains. You're actually looking at what the French, I think, when they talk about wine, called terroir. So it's the culture.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at. You're looking at the stories that make it. You're told things are troll rocks. And after a little while, you can pick a troll rock. You can spot a place where the trolls have partied too long, as trolls will want to do, and the sun got them and they turn into rocks.
Because you see, for us, you know, I know some of the story about trolls, etc. And you know, I know people absolutely believe it. And
why not?
And exactly.
Why not?
Exactly.
Why not have parallel universes running
friends,
about?
My friends who believe in spirits and others who believe in gods or others who believe in various other things.
So with the troll blankets, I worked with these artists and strangers, friends and strangers, and I made a mask that was very, very basic. It was just a white thing. And we talk about their experience of spirits and trolls and elves and leprechauns and bunyips and yowies and all of those things, and the trickster as well. And I got them then to wear the mask.
Okay.
And be the character they talked about. And so those photographs have become the troll blankets. And blankets, of course, when you're working with a colonialised landscape, blankets have particular meanings of trade or death, depending. So there are all of those things that come into it. One of the other important things in the exhibition is there's a deer head that was left to me by my father, who died about this time last year. And I spent time with the Sami, which is in Siberia and northern Norway. They're the indigenous peoples there, and they're deer herders. So there's this thing with caribou and deer. So it's a specific deer to me because my father was a hunter. Right. And but I've covered it in gold and pearls and pins. There's a photograph of it here in the catalogue.
Yes,
so it's beautiful.
It's precious.
Mm.
It's strange. It's death. It's healing because the pins almost become acupuncture. And it's that pleasure and pain concept is in this deer head. And he looks out towards this landscape that turns and twists. It's chaos. It just turns and twists in front of you. And that was travelling through different ice lagoons in the north.
Wow.
And bringing them together. And it's darkness in there.
How long is it dark in the winter?
Probably, just trying to think, probably about 3 to 4 months.
Mm.
What do you mean, no light at all during the day?
Well, you get reflected light sometimes, depending on how high up you are.
And less dark.
if that's... And
What's the rate of depression like in those communities?
Probably the same as here when we're in drought.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about regional communities.
Wow.
Does it impact your sort of awareness of reality, that much darkness? I feel like it'd almost be liberating because you'd feel like you're in some sort of surrealist kind of mythological place.
Actually, the surrealist one is mainly when you're there when it's light all the time.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's weirder in the light.
Weirder in the light, and you sit there. I remember taking my wife up very far north, and it was the summer solstice, so which is quite different from celebrating the winter solstice. So we're there having cocktails, and it's about 1 a.m, and the sun has finally gone, and it just touches the edge of the sea and then goes poof, back up again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we wanted a romantic sunset.
Yeah.
nope, you're not getting that yet.
Yeah.
Now, Lisa, I'm going to get personal and ask you, who's this wife of yours that you keep on talking about?
She's the most important woman in my life. She, Jane Smith, and she runs the Museum of Australian Democracy, Eureka, or she did until this morning, I think.
Oh, right.
But,
In Ballarat.
Made
museum, there you go.
Yes. So she's been building up really interesting projects there, and together we kind of make this creative team of crazy dykes in Ballarat.
Fantastic.
And we have the best time.
Fantastic. And here you are in Melbourne now.
Well, we do bits between Melbourne. As I said, it's only an hour on the train.
Yes, there you go. So hello there, Jane, is it?
Jane.
Lovely to
And they've got Anne Summers on this afternoon. Jane's doing an interview with Anne Summers at the museum as part of the Writers' Festival.
Back in Ballarat. Oh, wow.
As soon as we finish here, we're hot-footing it home again.
So let's go back to the show. Your show is actually quite multimedia. So there was a lot of perspex, there was sound, there was video, there was
light
and the more traditional means of photography, but then also photography on glass and blanket. Do you see yourself as being a narcissist of multimedia, or do you have a particular penchant for a particular type of medium?
I use just about everything. I think what I do is I work with ideas, and the ideas come up to me in different ways, and I think about how I'd like that to be. But ever since I was very young, I've always been interested in the light and how the light is seen and how art is in some ways about bringing us into the light so we can see and understand what's hidden, what's disappearing, and we can take those stories through. And sometimes the best way to layer a story is to use your material.
Yes, yes.
So, and the perspex pieces, there's this thing called caustic technology, which is about the curvature of perspex and the light that reflects around. And you might have noticed when you stood in the main room with all that perspex,
yes,
how I had the light reflecting down the walls,
yes,
on either side.
Yes.
So it was more than just the projection.
And also when people walked past the projector, you got their reflection on the imagery as well, which I thought was really powerful.
Well, that's called caustic technologies.
Uh-huh.
And it's about effectively using your perspex as a kind of lens to create doubling of images and crossovers.
So it strikes me that you're actually incredibly articulate about your artistic endeavours as well, and I'm wondering if you are tempted to write pages and pages of explanation to accompany your exhibition.
No. Well, I do have a catalogue, which is quite gorgeous, and I did write something in there. But the things for me are about how I start doing it, how you take it in is completely different. And sometimes I stand there with people and they tell me their bit and it's like, oh, gee, I hadn't seen that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, cool.
You know, so it's really, people really take it in.
But you are especially good at describing it, don't you think, Taz?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Secretly,
a great
I wanted to be a writer.
Right.
Well, you're a great storyteller.
Join us. There you go.
Lisa, we've had some people listening in, and I've just had a message from Lance, who says he's looking, I presume it's a he, looking very forward to seeing the exhibition, but asks, will Lisa be attending the first LGBTIQ ball in Ballarat in September? Do you know about it?
No, I don't know about it.
Well, you'll have to look out for it.
Lance,
ask me. Lance wants to meet you by the sounds of things. He might be one of my people. What do you Could think, be. Amy?
What are your people, Tass?
What was it, Futch?
Futch. Oh, Lance could be Futch.
He might Futch be. He
soft
might be.
Butch.
Okay, look, just as we wind up.
Glossary of terms here on Saturday Magazine.
Oh, I love a good glossary of terms.
You are a writer. I can feel it.
Lisa, it's great to have you in the studio.
Yeah, if people want
to see the show, where and for how long is it on?
It's at the Art Gallery of Ballarat, which is in Lydiard Street.
Yep.
And it's... I think it's open every day and it's on until the 2nd of October.
Okay, so there's a bit of time for people to get
there. Yeah, but you know what I find when I think there's a bit of time?
Yeah, you leave it till the last
minute. Leave it till last. Yes. Don't leave it till last.
Yes.
And I will, they're trying to organise me coming in and talking to people, but we haven't got a date for that. I might give you a call when I do.
Yes. So yeah,
you
can please
promote
do.
It.
Please do.
Because that'd be really good.
And make sure you tweet it with our hashtag.
Okie dokie.
Excellent. Associate Professor Dr. Lisa Anderson, thank you very much for your time this morning. Thank you for
Great
coming
pleasure.
In.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.